Domingo Santana, ooh, I wanna add you to my roster in Roto, replacing Gio Soto, Giolito, and Brito, baby, where my fab go? Near the Florida Keys, there's a place in Miami, that's where you wanna be to get ahead of your league. If you put Posey at sea, he'll help in points or OBP. Heath will approve cause he's under 30, cause Heath's an ageist. On the podcast.
Scott, do you have a case of the Mondays?
Maybe a little.
We're having an office-wide case of the Mondays today because we've had some minor technical. There was smoke involved.
Yeah.
Let's just say that.
Minor technical difficulties. Chris almost burned down the building.
If you're wondering why the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast is so late, that is why. If you're wondering why it sounds a little different, that's because I am Chris Towers, not Adam Azer. I am filling in here with Scott White. Scott, how was your weekend?
Oh, it was swell, Chris.
Do you you want to just jump right in? You want to tell me who you've added and who you've dropped for the what is this, week 21?
Week 21
of the fantasy baseball season.
Yeah. So the biggest, well, it wasn't necessarily for this week, although he happens to be facing the Padres, so I imagine his value is going to continue rising, and that's David Phelps.
Okay. Yeah.
He was the biggest performer of the week, and continuing along that Danny Duffy track of
it is remarkable. You know, thrown in the Martin Prado trade 2 years ago, has been a stud reliever for the Marlins this season, was their setup man for a long time, and now joins the bullpen, struck out 9 in 6 shutout innings against the Pirates on Saturday.
Right.
Gave up just 2 hits.
Yeah, joins the rotation,
yeah.
I think you meant to say.
Yes.
But the thing is, since joining the rotation, him and Duffy both, they maintained the velocity and
yep.
short relief, and it's like their setup men just extended over 6 innings now. And I think Phelps needs to be owned everywhere because, again, Padres.
26 strikeouts, 7 walks, 1.31 ERA in 4 starts. It's about 20 2/3 innings in those 4 starts, I believe, for David Phelps. Gets the Padres this week. Should be a must-add. Hopefully, you still have time to add by the time you listen. But either way, I think he's someone that has value beyond Week 21, especially looking ahead to Week 22. He might be a 2-star pitcher with the way the schedule sets up.
Yeah.
So
he may be.
Anybody else that you've picked up this weekend?
It was actually room for a lot of moves this
yeah.
weekend. Robbie Ray was probably the other yes. big standout pitching performance. And
he's been, 13 strikeouts in 7 innings against the Padres?
And only 1 hit. He
yeah.
became the 3rd Diamondbacks pitcher to do that, 13 strikeouts, 1 hit. The other two are, you know, who you'd expect.
Randy Johnson, Kurt Schilling,
yes.
I assume.
Yes.
He's been actually outstanding.
Well, the thing is, last 7 starts, 2.1 walks per 9, so
mm-hmm.
that was his big struggle early in the season. Strikeouts have been there all along. Trails only Jose Fernandez in strikeouts per 9 innings. That's all the majors, and
yeah.
this guy's available in 1/3 of all leagues.
He's allowed 1 earned run or fewer in 4 of 7 games since the All-Star break. He's got a 3.16 ERA in that span. Only 10 walks, 59 strikeouts in 42 2/3 innings.
And before this start, like, the walks had been down,
yeah.
but the strikeouts had fallen a little bit recently. So it's – and I don't think there was anything to that. I think it was just one of those fluky
yeah.
things. But it made it kind of understated, the kind of breakthrough that was happening here. And
mm-hmm.
I think he finally put it all together in this start. And we may see a very this may be a very impressive pitcher down the stretch.
Yeah, he's been really good for the last month and a half or so. I'll throw out a hitter who might be the most under-owned hitter in baseball right now, and that's Keon Broxton of the Milwaukee Brewers. 5 of 12 this weekend, 3 home runs, 4 RBI. That gives him 6 homers, 17 stolen bases with a 3.66 on-base percentage in 53 games this season. He's not hitting for a high average, but he's getting on base.
He is, and he was a guy who showed some power and speed in the minors. I don't know. It kind of reminds me of Lorenzo Cain in that it took a while for him to get his first chance despite a pretty good skill set in
yep.
the minors. Except in Broxton's case, I mean, it's looking like he could be an elite steals guy. And obviously in roto leagues, you have those five outfielder spots to fill, and you need stolen bases. It's the scarcest category this year. And he's a guy who could make up a lot of ground for you in short order. You know, kind of rounding to the nearest fives here, but you project his current numbers over a full season. It's like a 25 homer, 70 steal season.
I mean, you just look at what he's done combining AAA and the majors. Now, that's Colorado Springs, so the PCL asterisk applies, but he's played exactly 100 games. He has 14 stolen bases and 14 home runs, 35 stolen bases in 100 games between AAA and the majors. That's really good.
That's really good. I don't know that I'd add him in points leagues, three outfielders, and he's not quite playing every single day, but it's close enough. If you need steals in roto, you got to pick him up.
Let's take a look at the roster trends, the most added players coming into week 21 before we move on. Guys, I apologize. This is going to be a very short episode. We're getting it up late. We're getting it up short. It's not great news all around. I really apologize for that. We'll be back with a full episode on Tuesday. Most added players in CBSSports.com leagues. Reynaldo Lopez of the Washington Nationals up to 65% owned. Gary Sanchez of the Yankees up to 80% owned. He had himself quite a weekend. Homer Bailey, two-start pitcher that we can can say was not a great two-start option based on the first couple of innings of his start.
We're so late that we already have some of Week 21 action under our belts. And one inning in, it's not looking so great for Bailey. So I conveniently didn't mention him as a player I added this weekend, even though I added him and started him a lot.
Chad Green of the Yankees also up to 37%. He has two straight quality starts, struck out 5 in 6 one-run innings against the Angels. Is he worth a look in your deeper leagues?
Who is this?
Chad Green for the Yankees.
Chad Green. Yes, I think he is. Because the swinging strike rate, even before these last couple starts, was very impressive. Just some inconsistencies there, as you'd expect for a pitcher so inexperienced. And I'm not saying he's for sure turned the corner here and is going to be somebody you can rely on down the stretch, but I like that he's relief pitcher eligible. I like that he misses bats. I think that's somebody worth gambling on. It's not high end enough that I really did in any of my leagues, but just kind of in a broader sense.
If you're looking for a flyer, Chad Green of the Yankees could be worth a look. Right. Let's move on to some of the big news from the weekend in baseball. I don't know if Carlos Gomez counts as big news anymore, but he did sign a minor league deal with the Rangers. Will probably play in a couple of minor league games and then get the call. They are in need of some outfield help with Shin-Soo Chu suffering a broken forearm. Probably just a platoon.
Well, actually, I saw somebody, that was what was speculated at first, but I saw somebody, it may have been John Daniels, say everyday left fielder, which... seems kind of
been a long time since Carlos Gomez was worth being an everyday left fielder, but
that would be more bad news in fantasy than good. I think that would hurt Jerks and Profars. You know, he keeps gaining value, losing value. That would continue that pattern. Might hurt Mazzara some too. It was Jeff Banister actually, the manager, who said everyday left fielder.
All right, well, worth a look in deeper leagues, or are we kind of giving up on Carlos Gomez? Average fastball average exit velocity as a hitter is in the 20th percentile among all major league hitters. He's been real bad this season.
It would have to be, like, I'm desperate for steals. Yeah. Maybe we all overlooked something about this guy, and Keon Broxton's not out there anymore. that might be when I look at Gomez.
The other big news, I guess, Yulisky Gurriel started at DH on Sunday for the Astros, got called up this weekend. Alex Bregman played third base, so it sounds like Gurriel is going to split his time between left field and designated hitter. Bregman could stay in the lineup at third base. That's good news, because he is starting to hit a little bit. Three-hit games this weekend, went 6-for-15. Overall, over his last seven games, he's got 3 homers, 9 RBI, 11-for-28 overall. Alex Bregman starting to turn up.
Yeah, I guess 15 at-bats wasn't a big enough sample, to judge this guy.
I guess the question for Gurriel is, do we think he's going to hit this season at all? I'm starting to lose faith.
Well, I mean, talk about sample sizes. It was only, what, 50-something at bats in the minors?
Hit 250. Had one good game, really.
After taking a year off.
Yeah. Well, that's my concern, is that the year off, I don't know if he'll find it this year.
Right. The year off combined with him being 32. Yeah. I mean, that's at an age where you'd normally see regression. So, I don't know. I just kind of worry about when you reach that age and you take a long time off, like, will you ever get it back? There is some of that fear in me, but I also feel like, I mean, this is a guy who hit 500 in 175 or so at bats his last year with power, never struck out, like, never. He struck out, I think it was 3 times.
Yeah.
So that's in a, even against in Cuban ball, that's impressive.
It's a decent professional league. It's equivalent to probably high A or double A in the minors.
I think it's worth, if you have a roster spot to play with, and I understand not everybody does, but if you're just looking to catch lightning in a bottle, I think he's a great pickup. Better than Dansby Swanson, who got called up at the end of last week. I think there's a higher percentage chance Gurriel makes a relevant contribution this year.
All right, let's run through some of the other news from the weekend. John Lackey placed on the 15-day DL, retroactive to August 15th, so he'll be back at the start of September. Aaron Sanchez also will be back at the start of September. He was optioned to high A. Will not pitch when he's there. He will return when rosters expand. Aaron Nola diagnosed with a sprained UCL and a sprained flexor tendon. He has had a PRP injection. He is done for the season. Clayton Kershaw felt 100% following Saturday's bullpen session. That's a really, really good sign after we were getting a lot of really, really negative signs a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I don't know that I believe it, to be honest.
Okay.
It's not like we can actually take his temperature and determine what percentage he felt.
Also, I don't know if taking his temperature would really tell us much.
No. So, I mean, I'm still holding and hoping. I think that's all you can really do.
Speaking of holding and hoping, Giancarlo Stanton hopes to return before the end of the regular season. If you look at the 6-week timetable from when he went down, that did leave him about a week. Is there any reason to still hang on to Giancarlo Stanton? Does this news make you more optimistic, more likely to stash?
I mean, it'd have to be in a DL spot.
Yeah.
If I didn't have one that I could make available for him, I wouldn't. If I did, okay, maybe maybe I'm in a position last week where it's worth rolling the dice on him, but that's, we have a lot of ground to cover before then.
All right. James Paxton expected to come off the DL Thursday with an elbow injury. Charlie Blackmon missed the entire weekend with a bruised toe. We'll look at some call-ups and some send-downs before we move on to the rest of the weekend's action. Josh Bell was called up Saturday, started at first base on Sunday, could take John Jaso's job. I think that's a pretty good sign. He's someone that in one of my roto leagues I did hang on to in a minor league spot. Slot.
Yeah, I like him a lot in theory. Mm-hmm. He was having a breakout season power-wise in the minors before that initial call-up and got sent back down and was awful.
Yeah.
Couldn't buy a hit. And there's defensive issues at first base, so there's just a lot of question marks here. I'm not confident he's going to get regular enough playing time to really bother with him in mixed leagues yet.
We'll talk about a couple of Reds roster moves. Cody Reed optioned to AAA after allowing 6 runs in 3 innings of work on Sunday. Jose Peraza was called up and started both games Saturday and Sunday at shortstop and went with 5-for-9. Any interest in Jose Peraza?
I mean, that could be another source of steals there. I'm not really confident he's going to contribute much else. And eventually Zach Cozart's going to come back and there'll be a playing time issue.
Yeah. Okay, Taiwan, sorry, I was looking for something else. Taiwan Walker could get the start for the Mariners on Tuesday, had a better outing in his last start at AAA Tacoma, so he's someone that could be back soon. I would want to, if you're stashing him, I would want to see him pitch at least once in the majors before I get him back in my active lineup, given how mediocre/injured he's been for a while.
Yeah, I would agree with that. This is like lightning round fantasy baseball podcasting.
We've got about 15 minutes left, so we're going to have to run through. But first, before we get to the weekend's action, I want to give a testimonial for SeatGeek. I actually started using SeatGeek to buy tickets to sporting events and concerts because of this podcast, and I'm glad I did. Buying and selling tickets online used to be such a complicated process, but SeatGeek has made it so much easier. We can save you $20 with our promo code. We'll tell you about that in a minute. I actually used SeatGeek recently. I saw the band Blink-182 in West Palm Beach last week. Such an easy way to get the tickets. I got my phone, opened up the SeatGeek app, and searched for the tickets. SeatGeek lists available tickets from multiple ticket sites, so you never miss a deal. If there's a good deal out there, SeatGeek will find it. SeatGeek also ranks the tickets based on value. You want the best value, and SeatGeek makes that easy for you. Best of all, our listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate, download the SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab, and click Add a Promo Code. Enter promo code FANTASY. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code FANTASY today. Scott.
Yes.
I'm a little out of breath. I'm a little tired.
Oh, boy.
We need to get through these weekend standouts. Okay. I'm going to start it off. We already talked about David Phelps. We already talked about Keon Broxton. I think we need to talk about what's going on with Marcus Stroman.
Let's do it.
Struck out 9 batters in 7 1/3 innings, allowed 1 run, gave up 7 hits to the Cleveland Indians. He's got more than 6 strikeouts in 7 of his last 9 starts. In that span, he has a 3.02 ERA, 64 strikeouts, only 8 walks in 59 2/3 innings. Is this the breakout we've been waiting for Marcus Stroman?
I think there's a decent chance it is. I moved him back into my top 40 starting pitchers. I'm starting him over Jason Hamill this week.
Okay.
So that's indicating a level of confidence, I think, in him. And the thing about Stroman is that I feel like there's been this divide with him between the analytics community,
yep,
and kind of the you know, eye test,
yeah,
types, I guess.
The analytics community obviously has his actual track record to go on.
Right. But what's interesting about that is it was reversed,
yeah,
when Stroman was in the minors.
Mm-hmm.
He was much more highly regarded as a prospect by the analytics community because he was such a good strikeout,
yeah,
pitcher.
In
the majors, he has been an extreme ground ball pitcher,
mm-hmm,
like almost Dallas Keuchel level.
Yes.
So you, which is a great thing.
Yeah.
You have to figure if he could ever find a way to get those two skills combined, it could lead to some great things.
We're seeing it right now.
It seems like we are. It's a very small sample, but you know, given how high we were coming into the season, we, you know, in the royal sense, I think I'd be willing to trust in him right now.
Okay, must start Marcus Stroman.
That's maybe taking it a little far,
okay,
but pretty close. Pretty close.
What do you think of Brandon Finnegan? Struck out 8 batters, 1 hit, shutout inning, 1 hit and 7 shutout innings against the Dodgers. Previous 5 starts, he had allowed 4, 3, 0, 0, and 6 earned runs. What do we think about Brandon Finnegan, a guy with a lot of talent?
A lot of talent, but prior to this start, had not shown anything,
yep,
good. And by anything, I mean, all right, if you operate under the premise that the main things a pitcher controls are strikeouts, walks, and home runs, he was failing on all three,
yeah,
levels. So I'm not, as good as this start was, I'm not buying into him just yet.
Do you have any other weekend standouts you want to go to? While you gather your thoughts, I do want to point out the stat of the day. It finally happened. Jose Quintana got his 10th win after 3 straight years at 9. I really thought that he was just going to finish the season with 9 wins again. He's been arguably the best pitcher in the American League. He's having a phenomenal breakout season. Gave up 2 runs in 7 innings. Struck out 6 against the Oakland Athletics this weekend. 2.84 ERA. He's only 10-9 because the White Sox stink.
Yes, that was
a great
development.
I'm just happy to see him get to 10.
Me too. He was stuck on that for too long. You know, one guy I featured in the waiver wire column Monday,
mm-hmm,
who we haven't mentioned, is Jet Jerko.
Yeah.
Who, 5 home runs in his last 8 games. He's eligible at all 4 infield positions. And he started, I think it's 19 of 20 for the Cardinals. So
yeah,
he's an everyday player,
mm-hmm,
at least as long as Aledmys Diaz is out. Now, it's 20 home runs he has on the year versus 6 doubles, which I think kind of eliminates him from points league consideration.
And there's probably a little flukiness there, too.
With the doubles total, you mean?
Well, or? You would guess there's more of an even split between the doubles and the home runs for most players.
For most players, yes, it's always surprising to see. But I feel like there have been a handful this mm-hmm. year who have shown this.
Yeah.
Like Chris Davis with the mm-hmm. Athletics, a crazy yeah. home run to double rate. Neil Walker's another one.
Yeah.
I mean, home runs are way up this year, so maybe it's just it has something to do with that
yeah.
Balls in play haven't the success on balls in play haven't changed for hitters, but maybe the success on fly balls as a whole.
And there is actually some really interesting stuff about the league-wide exit velocity is up this season, along with I believe league-wide launch angle is up. So maybe teams are using the StatCast data that we have now to kind of make these micro adjustments that are seeing more players put the ball in the air.
Yeah, maybe. And Jerko, I mean, even if you're just counting on him for home runs, like we've talked about Brandon Moss and how he's somebody who can fill in
yeah.
for Stanton owners, get cheap home runs that way. And I still like Moss more, but Jerko, I think maybe on the same level in leagues where you're specifically looking to make up ground in that category. I mean, you can play him everywhere but the outfield. So between him and Moss, you have every position covered.
There you go. I would also point out Randall Grichuk has been really good since coming back from the minors. Or was he? Yeah, he was in the minors.
Yes.
345, he has yet to walk, but he has an .897 slugging percentage. I think it's like 11 games. I think he has 5 home runs. He's been another really good source of cheap power for the Cardinals as well, because Cardinals have that Cardinals devil magic. Any other weekend standouts you want to talk about, we can run through some of the bullpen news. Edwin Diaz struggled a little bit in his last 2 appearances, but he's been so good this season that I don't think I'm concerned.
No.
Cody Allen got the save on Sunday despite allowing 5 runs in his previous outing, so Andrew Miller does not look to be pressing him for the job.
Boo.
Houston Street may need season-ending knee surgery. Cam Bedrosian on the DL. So Fernando Salas has the only save since Cam Bedrosian went on the DL. AJ Ramos returned from the DL, but pitched the 8th inning.
Yep.
It's entirely possible Fernando Rodney will remain the Marlins closer.
It is. Yeah, I had to downgrade Ramos a lot because of that. I think I even dropped him in a couple leagues. Oof. Just, you know,
yeah.
head-to-head with the 2 relief pitcher spots.
Yep.
and just having to... You know, we saw that big influx of high-end closers
yeah.
a couple weeks ago. It's a little easier to push him out now.
Another former closer came back from the DL. Rodis Vizcaino came back on Thursday. Jim Johnson will stay on as the Braves closer for the time being, at least, maybe through the end of the season. And Jonathan Papelbon does not seem to be garnering much interest on the free agent market so far, which is not particularly surprising.
Just to clarify... I think the plan is for Ramos to close again.
Mm-hmm.
It just, you know, if things are going well, it just may not happen.
Yeah.
So I'd rather hold on to him if I can.
Okay. I want to go through some of the some pitchers who have been a little up and down lately. I want to talk about whether we still view them as studs, and we're going to have to go through these quick.
Yep.
Lightning rounds, give me a yes mm-hmm. or no. Jeff Samardzija gave up 2 runs in 7 innings against the Mets, had a no-hitter going until the 6th. Stud or no?
No.
Okay.
You want me to?
Just one sentence.
Self-editing,
Scott. Let's go.
This was like his best start in
15, a while.
Yeah.
The
last 15 or something like that. So, you know, I need to see more.
Dallas Keuchel, 8 strong innings, 7 strikeouts, 2 earned runs against the Orioles yesterday. Stud or no?
Yes, when Evan Gattis is catching.
Look
at those splits. It's pretty incredible. He has like a 2.40 ERA with him and like a 5.50 ERA without him. So,
that is really weird.
Yeah, it
maybe is. Maybe he's... It can't be because of the defense, so maybe he just feels more confident having Evan Gattis' bat in the lineup.
I feel like... I don't know. I feel like Evan Gattis' catching chops have been unfairly...
Maligned.
Questioned. Yeah, maligned, that's a better word.
Felix Hernandez, 2 runs in 8 innings, 8 strikeouts against Milwaukee. Stud or no? He has a .380 ERA and 7 starts since coming back from the DL.
Yes, though not stud on the level of last year. I don't think he's going to get back to being the guy he was the first
10 years
of his career.
Adam Wainwright gave up 3 runs in 6 innings against the Phillies. He's had an up-and-down season, 13 earned runs, 6 walks, 6 strikeouts in his previous 2 starts before his most recent. Stud or no?
No. No. I I'm not dropping him. I'm benching him for now, and not ruling out him figuring out what's going on this time, because that happened once already this year.
Okay, Julio Teheran came back from the DL, 3 runs in 5 innings. He is doing his best Shelby Miller impersonation, has a 2.90 ERA, 3-9 record. He will be traded to the Arizona Diamondbacks next offseason and get sent to the minors. Is Julio Teheran still a stud?
Man, they better get the Braves something good. Because yes, I think the answer is yes, as long as wins don't count in your league.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to do a. I'll just go into it. Here's a segment on pitchers that I think we need to give up on. Okay. You ready?
Okay. Go ahead.
Tell me if you're giving up on the following pitchers. This segment is titled "Ashes to Ashes, Dust to Dust." You're dead to us. I don't know if anybody gets that reference. It's not a particularly well known one. Colin McHugh gave up 6 runs in 3 innings to the Orioles. Is Colin McHugh dead to us? For fans.
Dead to me.
Okay.
Dead to me. ERA over 5 now. Oh, 4.99.
4.99.
Excuse me.
Right under.
Yeah.
Just gets under the wire.
Yeah.
Wade Miley, I think this is an obvious answer. There was some optimism about him coming into the season. He's a 9.53 ERA against the with the Orioles.
Yes, I think the optimism was basically limited to the man who is no longer on this podcast, Al Melchior. We're going to throw you under the bus.
We love you, Al. Braden Shipley has some upside, but he's given up 13 earned runs in his last 2 starts. This one, 7 runs and 5 1/3 to the Padres.
Yeah, we can give up on him.
I've been ready to give up on this next guy for a while, and nobody seems to want to join me. There's room on the lifeboat, guys. You can get off the good ship Matt Moore, who was not terrible. On Saturday, gave up 3 earned runs in 5 innings, 3 walks, 3 strikeouts. Since joining the Giants, 22 strikeouts in about 20 innings is pretty good, but 17 walks in 4 starts.
Yeah, the walks have really been an issue lately after seeming like he had overcome them earlier this year and really going dating back to last year. I feel like he's kind of in Robbie Ray no man's land. I mean, he doesn't have the blow-you-away strikeout rate, so... That, I mean, obviously, it's not quite to the same level, but fly ball pitcher in a huge park who has had enough success, I feel like, in his career that I still hold out a little hope. I can't see myself dropping more, but I'm not looking to start him now either. So not quite giving up on him.
James Shields, we don't even need to pause for an answer. No. He has a 7.62 ERA since joining the White Sox in 14 starts. That is unbelievable. He is awful.
Yes, he is.
And Jose Berrios has a ton of upside, but he was hit for 4 earned runs in 4 innings against the Kansas City Royals this weekend. He's given up 16 earned runs in 17 innings since coming back. Jose, upside for next year. I'll still look to draft you in my late rounds, but we're done this season.
Nope. Yep. I agree with you.
Tell me if you've got one word, find a one-word answer to tell me if you've got any interest in these deep league pitchers. Luis Sessa.
No.
Julio Urias.
No, I don't think he's going to get enough innings.
Kendall Graveman. Complete game shutout against the White Sox.
Yeah, in like an R.A. Dickey sort of way.
Jared Cozart.
No.
Jeff Hoffman made his major league debut pretty big prospect for the Rockies, was the key piece in the Troy Tulowitzki trade, was tagged for 6 earned runs, but maybe the toughest possible major league debut you could have going against the Cubs at Coors Field. So I think you can give him a little bit of a mulligan for that.
Definite prospect here. He was the main return in the Troy Tulowitzki deal, but I'm still betting against
Unless you're John Gray. guys, that's pretty much it. We've got about a minute and a half before our boss comes in here and yells at us for going over time. So we'll run through the last bit of injuries, news, and notes from the weekend. Steven Wright will not make his return from a shoulder injury on Tuesday. Zach Wheeler diagnosed with a flexor strain, so not the worst-case scenario for him. Junior Guerra will throw a simulated game on Monday as he recovers from an elbow injury. Billy Butler was injured in some kind of altercation with teammate Danny Valencia. There are not many details on that, but that is the report on that one. Matt Wieters, if you're setting your lineup for week 21, you've still got a chance. He is on the paternity leave list, so he is out for at least three games, I believe it's the...
Yeah. Okay. I think max three games.
Okay. Ryan Zimmerman returned from the DL, went 4-for-8 with a home run. AJ Pollock returned to his rehab assignment after missing 3 days with an intercostal strain, so hopefully he can still be back by the end of the month. I don't know if his rehab assignment resets on that, though, since it's a different injury. But hopefully he can be back.
He's been so good. Yeah. I'm still halfway expecting him back next week. I don't know if he'd be at the start of the week, but... Yeah.
That would be a nice September call-up for my fantasy team.
Yes.
Yunel Escobar placed on the 7-day concussion DL on Saturday, and Jung-Ho Gong placed on the DL with a shoulder injury, injured his shoulder diving into a base over the weekend.
Yeah, he was just heating up, too.
At this point, is it even worth stashing Jung-Ho Gong, given the concerns about playing time?
I mean, kind of like Giancarlo Stanton, you just have to have a DL spot.
Yeah. All right, Scott. We're over 30 minutes.
We covered a lot. That was impressive.
I'm a little out of breath. My heart's beating. I'm a little sweaty, but I think we did the best we could.
Lightning round.
With what we had. Yeah. So maybe we can cover.
People who listened to us running, they ran a little faster. Yeah.
You won't need to put this one on 1.5 times.
No.
we spoke a lot faster today than normally. Guys, thanks so much for sticking with us. Sorry for the delay in getting it out to you. Tuesday's episode will be. We'll be up bright and early, I would hope. So we'll see you then. Thanks for listening. For Scott White, I'm Chris Towers.